So we're on Daf Kuf Aleph, Omid Aleph, and we had a statement, just a review, of Rav Huna, and in a minute I'll tell you where we're up to inside. And Rav Huna spoke about these small kinds of boats that become very narrow at the bottom, and he was of the opinion that these boats are a carmelis, and the halacha that allows you to carry from one side of a boat to the other side of the boat, inside the boat, because the boat is a Rosh Hashayach, that doesn't apply in this case. And that's called Bitsi Asa. Again, we had Tosis's opinion that this Bitsi Asa is not exactly the way Rashi saw it, that it, you know, it's got a flat bottom to it, this boat, and it has the status of a carmelis. Tosa says a carmelis has to be 4 tvachim wide, and this is an area which Rav Huna says on the bottom of the boat, it's not 4 amos wide. And Tosa therefore says it's actually a boat that's, so to speak, submerged in the water because it's got this kind of embroidery kind of floor, and the water comes in. And therefore it's a carmelis because it's in the water. Virtually it's in the water. And what we really ended up yesterday was with a series, I called it a Chayt Gadya, in which Rav Nachman objects and refutes Rav Huna. Rav Yosef refutes the refutation of Rav Nachman. And Abaye refutes the refutation of the refutation of Rav Yosef, and therefore defends Rav Nachman's refutation of Rav Huna. I mean, if that means anything to you, great. If it doesn't, it's all right. Don't feel bad about it. Anyway, what was Rav Nachman's issue? Why did he object to Rav Huna? Rav Huna understood that these mechitzos in this small boat are problematic. And the reason for that is because as you go down and you reach the level of 3 tefachim above the ground level, you don't find a width of 4 tefachim. A Rishus HaYochid, in order to set up mechitzos, it's not enough that the mechitzos are 10 tefachim high, they have to have a width of 4 tefachim. And this small boat, because of the way it's shaped, and it comes to a spitz, it lacks the width of 4 tefachim that is absolutely necessary for Rishus HaYochid. Says Rav Nachman, no problem. I can solve that problem for you, bitchik. And why is that? Because of the principle called God Achis Mechitzos. So if you have a basic structure mechitzos that are 10 tefachim high, we can extend the mechitzos all the way down through God Achis. And Rav Yosef says that that's not so. Why? Because of the case of Traskal. So what's the case of Traskal? You have a pole that is situated in Rishus HaRabim, and on top of the pole there's a basket. And that basket has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. Well, not exactly. It has the width of 4 tefachim. Does it have the height of 10 tefachim? So the answer is that this is a machlokas, and it really depends on God Achis Mechitzos. So that in the Brisa of Traskal, which is a Brisa brought by Reb Chiya, Chachomim Potrim, Chachamim tell us that if you throw an object standing in Rishus HaRabim and it lands on top of this traskal, or for, now, again, I don't know exactly whether the basket is upside down or right side up. In other words, it could be, it's, Rabbeinu Chadal says it's a basket that's turned upside down, because Rabbeinu Chadal wants to set up the mechitzas of the basket in such a way that we can extend them. Okay, fine. Most of the Rishonim say, even if it's right side up, you still have the mechitzas of the basket, and they go down, and yet the Chacham say potrim, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. So Rav Yosef assumes let's draw the conclusion, therefore, that the Chachamim deny the principle of Godachis Mechitzos. And if that be the case, then Rav Nachman has no claim against Rav Huna, because his argument against Rav Huna in the case of the narrow-ending boats was that we should apply the principle of Godachis Mechitzos, and that'll set up Mechitzos. Says Rav Yosef, the Chachamim rejected that principle. We had a long discussion yesterday what that means exactly. And maybe we'll come back to it today again in the next Gemara. It's very difficult to assume that the Chachamim rejected Godachis Mechitzos. But in any event, that was Rav Yosef's argument, based on the Brisa Rav Chiya of Traskal, that Chachamim Potrim, in the case of Traskal, it must be that there's no Godachis Mechitzos. Hence, in the case of the Svina of Rav Huna, the Bitzasa, what you're going to be stuck with is Mechitzos that don't go down, because when you go down to the level of the water, so to speak, you don't have a Rochav of four Tfachim. Hence, the Sfina is not a Rishus HaYochid. So we have Rav Yosef on the side of Rav Huna, and we have Rav Nachman as the dissenting view, because he thinks that there's no problem with this boat, this small boat. We're going to apply the principle of Godachis Mechitzos, and imagine the Mechitzos going down. Now, it's really interesting when you think about it, the kind of, you know, geometric figure that you have here in this boat of Rav Huna's small boat is you've got kind of like a rectangle that becomes, in, you know, it goes into a triangle, if you follow me. Now, the boat itself is on the water, so that if you want to take the straight lines of this rectangle and extend them, according to Rav Nachman, let's say, applying the principle of Godachis Mechitzos, then what you're going to do is you're going to have these Mechitzos enter into the water, so to speak. It's like a watery Mechitzos. Anyway, comes along Abaye, and he says, you don't know what you're talking about. The case of Traskal and the Svara, or the Shita of the Chachamim Potrim, is not relevant at all to this discussion. Because that's a whole different kind of situation. That's a situation called Gedim Bokimbo. What you have is you have open airspace, and you want to set up Mechitzos that go from the top all the way to the bottom, over airspace, you know, extend the Mechitza. Well, the Gedim don't know about the Godachis Mechitza. They didn't learn in our yeshiva, so they don't know about Godachis Mechitza. And therefore, they're going to break down this Mechitza. But not so in the case of Rav Huna's Sfina. In the case of Rav Huna's Sfina, we don't have Godachis Mechitza. Rav Nachman's argument is absolutely on the mark. We should apply the principle of Godachis Mechitzos, and we take the Mechitzos, the Defanos of the of the Sfina, and we're going to extend them down, and there's nothing here that breaks that imaginary Mechitza. There's no force that breaks it up. So let's see where we're up to today on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. And so my area, okay then, so it's kind of in the middle of the Amud, and Midei Irie, Hasam Havile Mechitza Shagidim Bokimba, Hacha Havile Mechitza She'ena Gidim Bokimba. Okay then, so let's see how many lines up it is. Oh, we'll count up from the bottom of the Amud. And this is where we're up to today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom. Okay, so we're up to Omer Le Rav Acha Bereder Rav Acha Le Rav Ashi. And now Rav Acha is going to question the very premise of Abaye. Abaye's premise was that there's Gedim Bokimba in the case of Traskal, but there's no Gedim Bokimba in the case of the Sfina. He says, Gabi Sfina Nami. Right, what are you doing? You're extending the Mechitza of the boat into the water. Okay, there are no goats in the water, but there are fish in the water. Ha'ika b'kias dogim. Guess what? The logic, again, this is all going to defend the partnership, the chavrusashaft of Rav Huna and Rav Yosef, that we cannot apply the principle of godachis machitzos. And the reason for that is either in the case of Traskal, where it's Gedeim Bokimba, or in the case of Rav Huna Sfina, in the case of Dogim Bokimba. And now, the Gemara says, right, this was a discussion between Rav Acha and Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi now, to defend another Chevreshaft, which is Rav Nachman and Abaye, B'kias Dogim Lo Shmei Bekia. That fish, you see, it's interesting. The whole idea of Gedeim Bokimba is something very material, very tangible, very physical. Right? The Gedeim are breaking down the Mechitza. The whole purpose of Mechitza is to separate and enclose. Well, you haven't enclosed much. Imagine, okay, since I mentioned sukkah before, imagine you're sitting in a sukkah and you got a dofen that comes down, but there's a 3 tfachim airspace between the floor and your dofen. And all of a sudden, in the middle of your sukkah's lunch, guess what? Joe Gedi shows up. You know, that's not really an enclosed area, you know, when the Gediim come through. But we're breaking down the status of the Mechitza because of something that you could see with your eyes. That's how tangible it is. Fish, as we know, you know, from Yosef, V'yidgu Larov, they're not visible. You know, and Ayin Hara, Sholetis Bahen. And the fish survived the marble, according to most Shitos, right? So the fish are not visible. So the Gemara now presents, according to Abaye, and this would, again, take us back to Rav Nachman, the position that Gedeim Bokimbo, but not Dogim. Uminot Temra. Okay, it's a very nice distinction that Dogim are not Nikar La'ayin, and therefore they do not break up a Mechitza, whereas Gedeim are Nikar La'ayin. But I need a source for it. And the source is Deboi Mine Rav Tavla Me Rav, based on a discussion between Rav Tavla and Rav about a mechitza tluya, mao shetatir bechurva. Right, so you have a churva, and what's left from this churva are walls. Now, normally when you have a house that borders on Rishus Harabim, there's no problem halachically in carrying within the house, even though it borders on Rishus Harabim, because I've got a mechitza that encloses the area and separates this Rishus HaYochid from a Rishus HaRabim. But then we have something called Nifritza. Nifritza means that this mechitza that separates your private bias from Rishus HaRabim has been breached, it's been broken. And once it's been broken, your Rishus HaYochid is now open up to Rishus HaRabim. We don't allow you to carry in Rishus HaYoch that opens up into Rishus HaRabim. But what about the case of a ruin, R-U-I-N, I think? Is that how you spell it? Anyway, you're talking about a churva, and what you have in a churva is you've got somewhat of a wall, let's say, that's left over from the original, but it's open on the bottom. And if it's open on the bottom, can we consider this mechitza as a valid mechitza, or is it still nifritza? Because this mechitza is what's called a mechitza tluya. Amale ain mechitza tluya materes. If you're talking about nifritza, and it means that this, the Rishus HaRabim, so to speak, opens up into Rishus HaYochid, or maybe we should say it the other way around, the Rishus HaYochid opens up into Rishus HaRabim, then if this mechitza is open on the bottom, then it's not enough to be matir carrying. This is a case of Rishus HaYoch that opens up into Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, Your question, Rav Tavla, is not a question. Oh. And now we turn to Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, and we begin to get a picture of why Rav Tavla asked this question. Why did he think that a mechitza tluya could function as a mechitza? Because ela b'mayim. Rav says, don't draw any conclusions from mayim, but in the case of mayim, a mechitza tluya is valid. And this is a case which I think we touched on in the past, in which a person is traveling by sea in a boat, and it's Shabbos, and he wants to be able to draw water from the sea into his boat. Let's say it's drinking water, it's fresh water, lomazog, right? So what happens is, we allow him to construct a mechitza. This mechitza is going to be a mechitza tluya, which means that, let's say, there's, so to speak, a veranda on the ship, you know, some sort of a platform that juts out of the side of the ship. He goes out to the platform, and he takes a pail, and he draws water from the sea. And he takes it into his boat. Now, that's a problem, because the sea, as we said before, is a kamalus. His boat is Rishus HaYochid. You're not allowed to carry from a kamalus into Rishus HaYochid. So what we allow him to do is to create this mechitza, a kind of a box almost, you know, some sort of rectangle that's made of different pieces of wood in a way that he's got a rochav of arba amos, and then we apply the din of go to achis mechitzos, which means that the mechitzos go all the way down. So that, assuming his boat is more than 10 tefachim high, which it certainly is, he's now got an imaginary mechitza, and what we do is, we take a pail, we put it inside this little box that's 4 tefachim wide, and we lower it into the sea, and we raise up the water. Here we have a mechitza tluya, and you and I would have said, if it's a mechitza tluya, you cannot apply the principle of God Achis Mechitzos because it's Gideon Bokimbo. But the answer is we're out at sea. There are no Gideon to be found. But there are fish to be found. And the fish are going to, so to speak, destroy these imaginary Mechitzos. Says Rav, Kalu Sheikilu Chachomim B'mayim. That although Rav Tavla asked him, can we rely on a mechitza tluya? And Rav's response was absolutely not. And therefore, in the case of a churva, you're not allowed to carry in the churva, even though it has a mechitza tluya, because it's considered parts to Rishus HaRamim. But nevertheless, for Mayim, to allow people who are traveling at sea to draw water, and again, let's assume it's drinking water, so we rely on a mechitza tluya. But the implication would be that at least on one level, setting up these mechitzos, we have, in other words, again, we're not going to be so thrilled about mechitza tluya, because, you know, if we let him get away with mechitza tluya, he might apply it even to the case of a churva, and it's for the sake of mayim, we're not going to be nervous about, you know, we have to be makil for mayim, and if we're not going to institute any sort of xeris and say, well, you're going to allow him to rely on a mechitza tluya here, he's going to rely on a mechitza tluya there and elsewhere, and he's going to expand beyond the bounds. We're going to avoid all those derabanans and all those xeros, and the reason for that is because b'mayim hikilu chachamim. But forget about that. Isn't he carrying from a kabbalist into a rishus hayochid? That we can't allow, even for the sake of mayim. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, kamalus is a big deal. But the answer is that these mechitzas are valid. What do you mean they're valid? What about dogim bokimbo? And the answer is, apparently, we don't have the principle of dogim bokimbo. We have gideon bokimbo to undermine godachis mechitzos, but not dogim bokim bo. Famai. In other words, how were the Chachamim able to be matir, taking water from a caramelist, from the sea, into a Rishus HaYochid? Ha'ika b'kiyas dogim. If you're going to tell me that this, you know, this fancy, you know, so-called Mechitza Tluya is valid, well, what about the principle of Gedeim Bokimba, and let's extend it to apply it to dogim Bokimba? El Shma Mina b'kiyas dogim lav shmei b'kiya. Okay, now we get back to the Mishnah. Are you allowed to carry from one boat to another boat? And the Mishnah says you've got to tie down the two boats so that they don't move around. Because if they move around, you've got a caramelis in between one boat and the other boat. And that would prohibit you from taking an object and carrying it over a caramelis into a Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara says the following. If the two boats are tied together, pshita. Now let's assume that these two boats are owned by the same person. Now, let's say you own two homes and you want to carry from one to the other. Each one is Rishus HaYochid. So you're allowed no inhibitions, no drabonans. L'chatchila, you're allowed to carry something from one Rishus HaYochid to the other. Each boat is Rishus HaYochid. So I can carry from one Rishus HaYochid to the other. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me a big chiddush that if these two boats are tied down, so it's basically one Rishus HaYochid contiguous to another Rishus HaYochid, that you're allowed to carry? I mean, this is a general principle, basics. You're allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYochid to another if they're owned by the same person. Amar Rava, lo nitzcha lahatir bitas shebeneim. You may recall that we quoted the Aruch, Rabbi Chananel, and others who say that this word bitzis is the same as the bitzia of Rav Huna. It's this small kind of boat. And now you've got two ships, and you've got this very small boat in between the two ships. And here the Mishnah has a chiddush that you're allowed to carry from one ship to the other, even though there's a small boat that's wedged between them. And we would have thought that when you have a small boat that is between two larger boats, it's very difficult to keep that small boat, you know, permanently fixed to a certain place, and the boat could slip away in between the two ships, and now once again you'd be carrying it over a caramelis. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah says no, that even in the case of a small ship between the two, we can still rely on these knots, this kesher that you made to tie up, you know, basically all three boats, you know, are tied and fixed. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling you we don't have to worry that maybe the small boat will sort of drift away on its own. And then what you're left with is a caramelis between the two boats. So we can rely on the fact that the boat will not drift away. He writes here, in the name of the Chofetz Chaim, in Bir Alocha, Siman Shin Nun Gimel, that Hachashashu Shema Yitaltil Derech Avir Hayam Shehu Karmelis, that you're not allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid through a Karmelis, and if this little ship, little boat, will drift away, then he's carrying it through a caramelis. He has another interpretation that maybe if the small boat will drift away, that maybe Yisrachaku zemizeh v'chefetz yipol yam v'yovel etaltel oso be'iser, that if he drops something into the water, he might pick it up and take it back into the Rishus HaRab. Just 1 second. Oh. So now, I have to add one point here that's important. And that is that you might ask the following question. I'm asking myself a rhetorical question. The Gemara said that if the Mishnah is talking about two major boats and they're tied one to the other and he owns both boats, that it's pshita. I don't need the Mishnah to tell me he's allowed to carry something from one boat to the other. Well, what's the case of this bitzis that's in between the two boats? Are we saying that this bitzis is tied down? Let's say you have a kesher that ties the big boat on the right side to the bitzis. You have another kesher that ties on the left side the bitzis to the other boat. Then what did the Gemara gain by that? What is it? You were worried that the canoe is going to drift away. Why would the canoe drift away if it's tied down? So the interpretation here that he offers, and he claims that it's not just the Chazon Ish, but the Chazon Ish proves it based on Rashi. Let's just see if we can see this in Rashi. Where's the Chazon Ish's proof? Just 1 second. There it is, Lo Nitzricha. You see it? The Afal Pi She'enon Kshuros. Again, if you don't find the Rashi, because I can't even tell you where the Rashi is, before the wide lines, it's still in the last of the skinny lines in Rashi. So Rashi says, Afal Pi She'enon Kshuros. In other words, what he's going to do is, he's going to tie together the large yachts, and there's a small boat in between them. That small boat is not tied down. It's just, how should I say, sandwiched between the two larger boats that are, so to speak, clinging to it. You know, like the legs of a horse rider, you know, clinging to the horse. And that's going to wedge that canoe in place. And he, again, exactly, you know, at what point he ties the large boats, I can give you 50 different possibilities, you know, in the front, in the back, on the top, I mean, whatever it is. So the two boats are stationary, and that's pshita. I didn't need a Mishnah for that. But the canoe is not necessarily stationary, it's being wedged in, and that's the kamashmalon of Rashi, that in this case, we can assume the canoe is there as a filler, meaning a filler in the sense that it becomes part of the two larger ships and you no longer have a carmelis that's exposed in between, you know, the two boats. Amalei Rav Safra Moshe. Interesting. We're talking to Rava, but Rav Safra calls him Moshe. Now, if I called you Moshe, you would probably get insulted. First of all, you don't know my name, but here Moshe is being used as a beautiful appellation, meaning, in my mind, Rava, you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. But nevertheless, Shapir Ka'amrit? Are you really correct? You know, after giving you all the applause and lauding you with praises, calling you like as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, now he attacks him. And he says, Metaltalin Mizol Zotnan? Does the Mishnah say that you're allowed to be Metaltil from one Sfina directly into another Sfina? In other words, doesn't it say that you're allowed to carry from one Sfina to the other? There's no indication whatever, what have you, in the Mishnah that there's another Sfina, number three, that's in between the two Sfinos. The Mishnah says, Metaltel Mizulizu, which means you have a Rishus HaYachid, and another is just say, Yochid, it's all yours, and you're going from one to the other. Where is there any indication in the Mishnah that there's a Sfina, a small boat, in between the other two? And therefore, El Omer of Safra, I'm going to reinterpret the Mishnah, I'm going to tell you what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. Lo Nitzricha Ela Li Arev Letaltel Zo Mizo. And what that means is that according to Rav Safra, we have a breakthrough here. The two boats are owned by two different people. So Reuven owns one boat in our Mishnah and Shimon the other. And if they're owned by two different people, then you're not allowed to carry from one Rishon Sayochid to another Rishon Sayochid without an Eruv. And the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that Eruv applies not just to two Rishon Sayochids that want to join together with an Eruv, or two Chatzeros, but rather it applies even to a case of two Sfinos. And Tosus asks, what is the Chiddush of, well, what's the Habamina, so to speak, that you shouldn't be able to make an Eruv between two Sfinos? So for that, we're going to learn the Braisa, Ukirisanya, as we learned in a Braisa. And the Braisa says the following. Shtei Sfinos, I'm adding the word Shtei, that are owned by two people, Kshuros Zubazu, and is no Carmelis, there's no Yam in between, they are interlocked. Me'arvim, they can set up an Erev, what we call an Erev Chatzeros, Beinayim, between the two, U'metaltalin Mizolizo. In other words, that we could rely on the Kesher, on the knot and the rope that connects these two boats, and therefore we assume undoubtedly that they are stationary, one next to the other, without a Carmelis in between, and hence we can make an Eruv Chatzeros between the two. In other words, classic Eruv Chatzeros means you have two Chatzeros that border, they have a Pesach, an opening, one to the other. There's no Carmelis in between. Here, in the case of Sfinos, the Chiddush of the Erev is that even though deep down below the two Sfinos there's a Carmelis, but nevertheless, since they're Kshuros Zulazu, we view them as two Chatzeros that border one on the other without any separation of a Carmelis, and therefore we can set up an Erev. And that's the Braisa. Therefore, Rav Safra wants to suggest that that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. That the Chiddush of Mishnah is not that there's one person who owns two Sfinos, and we're going to rely on the Kesher. That's a Knapper Chiddush, that's Pshita. But it's a case where two different people own two different boats, and now the only way we could be Matir carrying from one boat to the other is through Erev Chatzeros. And I have a Braisa, says Rav Safra, as a source, and I can stand on the shoulders of this Braisa to prove to you that we can set up an Erev. So in the footnote here, he quotes a Ravid. I'll just read the Ravid very quickly because I think maybe this Ravid is a little bit premature, but he says the following. Hachidush of a Mishnah hu, sha'af al pi she'shtei asfinos gvoos asor tfoch ve'en b'neim pesach o sulam, mutal etalta mizu lezu al yedei eruv, ve'en anu donim lomar, the Doma L'Shtei Chatzeros, one second, She'en Eruv Moel Elim Ken Yesh Pesach O Sulam Beineim. Okay, so I mentioned this before, that in the case of an Eruv Chatzeros, you have to have a Pesach from one Chatzit to the other. In fact, the Gemara has a case where, and Steve will know what I'm talking about, where there was an avalanche on Shabbos, and it closed up the Pesach between two Chatzeros. And that's a Mishnah at the end of Erevin, and the issue is whether or not the Erev is valid, since when we entered into Shabbos, there was a Pesach. And now, it's Sosum, do we invalidate the Erev midway in the middle of Shabbos? In any event, you must have a Pesach. So that the structure of the two Chatzeros that sets up a relationship between the two that allows for an Eruv has to be a structure with a Pesach. In the case of two Sfinos, we don't have that structure. And therefore, we would have assumed, says the Ravid, that an Eruv is inappropriate or invalid in the case of two Sfinos. But the Kamashmalan is Shasfinos Domos Lebatim Velo Lechatzeros. Okay, now in Hilchos Erevin, we're going to have a difference between two houses that are contiguous, owned by two different people, and two chatzeros that are owned by two different bnei achatzer. In the case of chatzeros, we need a Pesach. But the Gemara says, in Erevin, shnei batim, yecholim la'arev b'neihem, al yidei chalon. We don't need a Pesach, we just need a window between these two houses that are owned by two different people. V'afilu imachalon l'malam e'asar tfachim, and that's a din in bias. And our chiddush here, says the Ravid, is hu adin sfinos, dinom kibatim, and therefore we don't need a Pesach, an entranceway between one boat and another, whereas in the case of chatzeros, to set up an eruv, we do. Now, nifsiku haksharim. We go on to the case where the kesher that tied up these two boats has broken. Nesru. At that moment in time, you no longer have a heter, because now we have the karmelis in between the two batim, in between the two svinos. And now, in this case, the Erev is batel. Because again, an Erev doesn't apply when you have a karmelis between two chatzeros. Chazru v'nikshiru. Now, how did that happen? We're talking on Shabbos. And now somebody reties the knot on Shabbos to connect the two boats. Now, Kesher is one of the 39 malachas, and we have a principle called Maisa Shabbos, which means we're not allowed to benefit from a malach on Shabbos. And yet, the Brisa says that Bein Mezidim, Bein Anusim, Bein Mut'im, Mut'im is another word for shogeg, Chazu Letera Narishon. So in between, when there was no Kesher, we weren't allowed to send an object from one boat to the other. But now that somebody, let's take the last two cases, was onus, and he retied and connected the boats. Somebody was shogeg, and he retied and connected the boats. Then from now and further, in the middle of Shabbos, we can rely on the Eruv, because now it's kshuro zu b'zu. But the first case, which is Mezidim, that's something that we have to come back to and figure out how we could rely on a Kesher, even in the case of Mezid. Going on in the Braisa, V'chein Machtzolos HaPrusos. Okay, so now you have Rishus HaRabim, and you set up Machitzos, which are called Machtzolos, and you're now dividing up Rishus HaRabim. So there are those people on one side of the Machtzeles, they'll use the Rishus HaRabim. There are those on the other side of the Machtzeles. And now, everybody has their own, you know, their own section in Rishus HaRabim. Is in such a case, since you set up these Machitzos, is Ma'arvim U'metaltelim Mizu Mizu. So that these Machtzolos serve as valid mechitzos, and now we can set up an eruv from one side to the other side. Niglulu, what happens if somebody rolled up the mechitzos? Because these are machtzolos. Machtzolos are those kinds of, reeds, almost like, I don't know if any of you rely on a machtzolos like I do for a sukkah, for schach. You know, it's that rolled up thing. So somebody rolled it up. Okay, so at that point, Nesru. Now you cannot rely on the Eruv between one side of the Rishus HaRabim and the other because the Mechitzos are gone. But Chazru v'Nifrishu, Nifrisu, if somebody again extends these Machtzelos, that now are rolled up, he pulls them down, Bein shogigim, bein mezidim, bein anusim, bein mutim, chazru le teiran arishon. Why? Shekol mechitza shenasa b'shabes, bein b'shogig, bein mezid, shmo mechitza. In other words, you can create a mechitza on Shabbos, just like you create a mechitza on Erev Shabbos or any days of the week. You can create a mechitza even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that you see from this brisa that if the sfinos were kshuros zubazu, they were tied down together, and now you matter tiltal from one sfina to the other based on an eruv, is we're going to rely on that eruv, as we saw over here, and even if the kesher between the two sfinos was unraveled, if it was raveled again, we're back to square one, and the Eruv is valid. But you see clearly that you could make an Eruv on sfinos. I mean, that's the entire subject of this brisa, is to set up an Eruv with two sfinos that are kshuros zubazu, and as long as the kesher is tied properly, then the Eruv is valid. Now, let's think about this principle in the brisa, that you can set up a mechitza even on Shabbos. Eini, is this really true? So what do you have? You have two svinos, they're tied together, and they were untied and retied on Shabbos, and chazu leteiran harishon, and therefore you're allowed to be metaltal from one svina to the other. V'amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman added a comment on this brisa that we learned. Lo shanu elo lizrok, aval etaltel asur. That when you could recreate a mechitza, that's only lechumra, such that if somebody is standing in a reshus harabim and he throws it into an area that once had a mechitza, lost its mechitza, and then its mechitza was recreated and replaced, he's going to be chayav. Meaning that on a deraisa level, the status of a reshus hayochid is based on the mechitza and the validation of this mechitza. We can validate a mechitza that was set up on Shabbos. Therefore, it's a mechitza for reshus hayochid deraisa. Somebody throws something into this area, he's chayav if it went from reshus harabim to reshus hayochid. But if you're talking about Litaltel, also, in other words, we're not going to be Mekil and allow you to consider this as a Mechitza as far as Tiltel is concerned, to be Matir Tiltel. So again, if you had an area that was surrounded by Mechitzos, and therefore it had the status of Rishus HaYochid, the mechitzos fell and they were replaced on Shabbos, and you're standing in Rishus HaRabim and you throw it there, or the other way around, you're standing in the Rishus HaYochid, you throw it, you're chayav, and in that sense, lechumra, to set up Rishus HaYochid, we're going to replace mechitzos on Shabbos, aval etaltel, that we're not going to allow. Right? Because now you want to be mati the isur tiltul by replacing the mechitzos, and that's prohibited. So therefore, let's go back to the sfina case, right? We had a sfina with two boats that were tied together. We allowed tiltul. The knots were untied. They were retied on Shabbos. And now you're going to tell me that you're allowed to carry from one sfina to the other, because now you've replaced the ksharim that were removed, and now the mechitzos are now valid mechitzos, meaning the eruv that sets up a common mechitza that surrounds both sfinos is now valid. Well, I'm not going to allow you to create a mechitza on Shabbos to be matir tiltul. That's against Rav Nachman. So the Gemara answers, Itmar Rav Nachman, amazed Itmar. What Rav Nachman meant to say, that we can't rely on the replacement and the recreation of the mechitz on Shabbos, and therefore we cannot be matir tiltal from one svina to the other when the knots that combined them, that connected them, were untied and now they were retied. He was only talking about a case of mezid. He deliberately created a mechitza on Shabbos, and here we're going to apply the principle of Maisa Shabbos, the knas, and the penalty that applies to someone who violated the Shabbos. So I'll just read to you this note. He writes, Kansu chachamim shelo yehena mimelecha Shabbos, but Gam Rav Nachman mode shemechitzo shenasu b'Shabbos b'shogeg mutaros umatiros litaltil b'Shabbos. V'divrei abraisa she'im amachtzelos nifrisu b'Shabbos v'chaz, right, nifrisu means they were reset up. Chazru leteren arishon nemru rak ba'ofen zeh sha'parsim hayu shogegim o mezidim v'lo ba'ofen sha'ayu mezidim. They were not deliberate about it, and an inadvertent violation. Then we don't have a knas, and we validate the mechitzos. Umashashinu bebraisa shemayu mezidos hamachtzolos mo'ilos hu rak le'inyan omer b'seifa shal abraisa shemechitza shenasis b'shabes gam imnasis b'meizin echsheves mechitza haine shemo'ilo l'chayves hazorek mirshus harabim l'shamo lehefech avalo la'atir tiltul v'yosun mekomos. When the braisa added the case of mezidos, what he meant to say was that even in the case of mezidos, the mechitza is a valid mechitza, such as somebody who throws in there is going to be chayev, but to be matir tiltul in the case of mezid, that we're not allowed to do, that we cannot do. Okay, now the Mishnah says when you tie together the two boats, you're allowed to be metaltul from one to the other. Omar Shmuel, afilu kshuros bechut hasarbol. You have a very thin rope that connects the two, and we assume that this rope will do its bidding, and the tzvinos will remain tied one to the other. Pshita. Why would I think otherwise? What is Shmuel coming to teach me? And E ein yecholim lahamid lahamido amai. If on the other hand you're telling me that Shmuel is talking about a case of a thread that is so thin that ultimately these boats are going to break this thread and they're going to drift away and separate the thread, so why would it work? So basically, mimanafshach, I don't understand Shmuel's chiddush. If this rope fits the bill and it has the thickness such that we don't have to assume it's going to break, then pshita, he hasn't told me anything. If on the other hand it's going to break because it's a very thin thread and the large boats are going to rip apart this thread, so why would it be meaningful? Li olam, says the Gemara, bi diyachol amida. In other words, we can assume that this thin rope will prevent the two svinos from separating one from the other. Ushmuel afuke midenafshe ka'asi. Shmuel is coming to exclude something that he himself maintained in the past. And what is that? Now we're going to soon see that Shmuel requires what's called shalshalos shel barzel, that we really need iron chains. Disnan, and here we're learning olos. The Mishnah says in the 8th parak of olos, Kshara b'davra mamida mevi la tuma. If you tie something down to a boat and you tie it in such a way that it will not move and shift from one place to the other, is then, as a result of that kesher, of that tying down, mevi la esatuma. Okay, now we're talking here about a very small boat that, call it a canoe, whatever you want to call it, a raft. I would call it a rowboat. And it's used on a very small stream, which is called, in the Gemara's language, Nahar Yarden. Now, the Jordan River at some point gets pretty wide, but most of the way it's kind of like just a small stream, and they used to use small boats to travel across the Nahar Yarden. And we have a halacha in Kabbalah's Tumah that it has to be Dumya de Sak, right? In the parasha in Chukas of Tumah, the Torah describes a sak, a sackcloth. And the Gemara says a sackcloth is small enough so that even if it would be filled up, you could carry it from place to place. If you have a very large yacht and you cannot carry it, or let's say you had a major storage box, you know, I forgot what they call it, and it's, you know, it's filled with merchandise in such a way that no one can move it. I mean, you need a machine to move it. Is that's not Dumya de Sak. But if we have a Sfina Ktana, then even if you would fill it up with whatever merchandise you want to put in this small boat, you can still carry it, and therefore it's susceptible to Tum. It's Dumya de Sak. And that's metaltil kishihi malea. Okay? So now, he ties something down to this small boat in a way that it won't move and separate. Is mevi la es hatuma. Okay? Now, what does this mean, mevi la es hatuma? So we have a sfina, a boat, that's tied down to an ohel. Let's assume that he docks the boat, and there's an ohel, and he ties it down to this ohel. Okay, I'll read to you the explanation here. He writes, just 1 second. Yeah. He says that Shmuel is going to make a comment in the context of this mission in Olos. A small ship that's anchored and there's a cable, okay, he calls it a cable, I called it a rope, that was tied beneath an ohel. Okay, so you have an ohel and there's a mess inside of it. And you connect the roof of the OL with this boat. How do you connect it? With a cable. And the Mishnah says, Kashra b'davar amamida, right, if he used the cable, the sort of cable that he used to tie the ship down to the roof of this OL is able to hold it in place, that's called mamida, is mevi la es hatuma. That means that anything inside the ship is going to be contaminated with tuma because it's connected to the ohel. But davar she'ein mamida, if he ties this little boat to something, the cable is such that it's unable to hold it in place, then it does not bring tuma. V'yomar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, what is considered a kesher b'davar amamido, hu kesheksura b'shalshelet shel barzel. It means that the ship was tied up with barzel, with some sort of an iron chain. So in this case of a tied ship, Shmuel, in order to achieve kashra b'davar amamido, he requires an iron chain. In our Mishnah, Shmuel makes the comment that you don't require to connect the two boats an iron chain, even if the ships are attached by any sort of a rope or a string, that's enough to allow tiltle from one to the other. And now the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between the two? Why is the case of Ohel, we jack up the requirements and the conditions for Kesher to the level of Shashros Shel Barzel, and here, with regard to connecting the ships for the purpose of Heter Tiltul, it's enough to have a string.
So Gemara answers, Le'inyan Tumahu Tichsiv, in the parasha of Tumah, which we'll get to, I think, in a few weeks, right, in Sefer Bamidbar, it says, V'chalal Cherev, which means that we're talking about the body of someone who was killed by a sword. And we have a principle called Cherev Hareu Kechalal, meaning not only is the corpse an Avi Avos HaTumah, but even the Cherev, the sword, is considered Avi Avos HaTumah. Now this Cherev, as any sword, is made of metal. And the Torah is telling us that when do you apply the Tumah of Mess to the Cherev? That's only because it is made of metal. Hare hu kecholol, and that's only if it's made of metal in. So we have something that's made of metal. And therefore, in Tumah, the Torah requires that highest level of a metal implement. So a metal implement becomes a conveyor of Tumah. The Cherev, because it's made of metal, it becomes a... So if somebody is in an oil together with this Cherev, or he comes in direct contact with the Cherev, he contracts Tumah. And Mimela, since the Torah upgraded the status of an implement, of a conduit of Tumah, to the level that it has to be made of iron, therefore, in the case of a Sfina, if now the Oel is going to be transmitting Tumah over to the Sfina, we need a conduit which is made of metal. Aval inyan Shabbos, but as far as Shabbos is concerned, is kevon sheyochol amida afilu bechut hasarbol. Even you have a string. Let's say you take a sarbol, it's like a beged that you wear. So you took out a string from your beged and you tied the two ships together. That's enough to reach the fulfill the requirement of Yochol Amida, and the Kesher is considered a Kesher. And for example, in Meleches Kosher, if you had such a string, you would be Chayav for Kesher, because it's Yochol Amida, it's a Kesher Shel Kayoma. So, to be Matir Tiltil from one ship to the other on Shabbos, all we need is a cable that we can anticipate will hold the ships in place. Again, we rejected that other possibility. If it can't hold the ships in place, then there's nothing to talk about. There's no basis for a heter tiltul. And we don't care what material this string is made of. It could do the job. You know, get yourself a good, thick, healthy rope. It's not shasharos shel barzel, because that halacha, that in order to create that chibur for transferring tumah, you require cherev, meaning something that's made of metal, shasharos or barzel, that's a halacha in Tumas Mess. So Shmuel, when he made that comment that you need shasharos or barzel to attach something between an oil and a sfina, such that the tumah will be transmitted to the sfina, that's shasharos or barzel, that's halacha in Tumah. Say Shmuel, but I want to tell you, as far as Heter Tiltul is concerned, we don't have that special separate halacha requiring Sharshos Shel Barzel. And this, Rabbosai, leads us to the Mishnah, which is on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph.